From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. On Monday, Atlanta Jewish Times editor Michael Jacobs is going to be my guest. He's recently left the paper after years of covering some landmark events and people. So we're going to tap into his stories and his knowledge of covering the Jewish community and greater Atlanta. And we could use your help. What do you think is the value of local, specialized news coverage in this information age? You can leave us a voicemail at 404-500-9457 or find us on Twitter or on Facebook. We're at OST Talk. And then be sure to join us Monday at 9 a.m. for that conversation. Well, we've been learning today about how colleges and universities are coming up with ways to reach and retain more students from around the state. One third of today's college students are the first in their families to enroll in college. That's according to the U.S. Department of Education. And we've got some here to speak about their experiences as first-generation college students. Three graduates of Georgia schools. Shazaib Jawani is vice president of Elite Healthcare. That's in Washington, D.C. And joining us from NPR in Washington. Good morning, Shazaib.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much for being here. Sandra Godina is impact manager at the nonprofit Education Opens Doors. That's in Dallas. And she's joining us by Skype from Dallas. Hello, Sandra.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being with us. In the studio with me, Lloyd George. He's founder of Big Loop. It's a web design agency. Hello, Lloyd.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, so glad you're here. And there's so much we've been learning today about the experience of being in college and universities today. Shazaib, I want to start with you. You're from Lilburn, Georgia. First of all, where'd you go to high school?
I am. I went to Parkview High School.
Okay. So where'd you go on to?
So from Parkview, I went on to Oglethorpe University, mm-hmm. and I did my undergrad there, and then I did my graduate degree at Harvard.
Now, you are the son of Pakistani immigrants. Have I got that right?
That's right, yes. My parents and I, we emigrated into the States when I was three, so a little over 25 years ago now.
So you were born in Pakistan?
I was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, and Sandra, how about you? Where did you go to school?
I'm from Lawrenceville, Georgia, and I went to school at Brookwood High School, which is kind of funny because Parkview's our rival high school, I should say.
Okay, we don't want any trouble here, Sandra. And then where did you go on to?
And I went to the University of Georgia, and I graduated in 2013 with a degree in history and social studies education.
And you're the daughter of Mexican immigrants, right, Sandra?
Yes, that's right. My parents immigrated to Los Angeles in the 80s, and we moved to Atlanta when I was five.
All right. How about you, Lloyd? You graduated from North Springs in Sandy Springs. Have I got that right?
That's exactly right. So I was originally born in a country called Zimbabwe, moved here about 10 years ago, went to North Springs High School, went to Georgia Perimeter College, but did not finish from there.
You didn't finish college, but you've gone on to do this successful career as a web designer.
That is exactly right.
Well, how about for you? I mean, all of you first generation Americans and first generation college students, what was the conversation about college like in your home? Did your parents say, absolutely, you're going to college, pressure you to go, or were you the one to take that step? Lloyd, I want to start with you. You're right here.
Sure. I think when you're an immigrant, I think the sort of unspoken expectation is that you go on and go to college. I think that was what my parents wanted for me, a lot of extended families wanted for me. However, I think getting to college and staying in college, being an immigrant can be difficult. We were under a program known as DACA, which mm-hmm. is the Deferred Action Program. And so that made it even harder just finding out a way to pay for college, making sure we had all the resources we needed to stay in college and those sorts of things. And so my journey getting to college and staying in college was pretty difficult, a little rough. But that made it easier to go outside and find other opportunities that could still lead us to some sort of success.
How about you, Shazaib? Was there a sense in your family that you were absolutely going to college? What was your role in that?
I think it was somewhat understood within my family that I would go on to college. And I think it may have even been my fault if it is a fault, because, you know, throughout high school, I had been looking forward to the college experience and to pursuing a higher degree. But really, the steps of applying, of, you know, choosing a college, a lot of that was just driven through peer pressure. Some of my best friends were applying to college, and I didn't want to leave them behind, so I applied as well.
So that's how you ended up at Oglethorpe?
Yeah, sort of. So my best friend's parents, both Deborah and Casey Chosewood, attended Oglethorpe. And I remember growing up, I admired them then, and I really admire them now so much that I said, you know, if I'm going to college, I want to follow in their footsteps, and I really want to go to the university that they went to. And so it was Oglethorpe.
So, Sandra, you went to UGA, a huge school. How did you decide on that as a school? And what role did your parents have in that?
Sure. I think that, you know, for my parents, especially being immigrants, their hopes and dreams were really placed on their kids, including myself. And one of those dreams was that we would be successful. And to them, that meant going to college. Similar to the other speakers, I really looked to my classmates. I paid attention to what they were doing. And what that ultimately meant was that a lot of my decisions in terms of college planning were pretty reactive. You know, I would see somebody was applying to this thing, and I would think, oh, maybe I should apply to that as well. But I ended up at the University of Georgia after several visits to lots of different colleges. Bless my mother's heart. She drove me. Basically, if I asked her if I could go visit a university, she would take a day off work. She would take me to visit. And after a couple of times of going to Georgia, I decided that that was the place I wanted to be. And so after that, it was really just filling in the financial piece and figuring out how I would pay to be there for 4 years.
So what did it feel like for you on campus as a freshman? I mean, big school. Did you meet any other people who were also the first in their families to attend college, Sandra?
Yeah. So that for me, it wasn't an identifier. I think that being Latina or being from my hometown, being from Lawrenceville, those were things that I was able to connect with. I think in hindsight, I recognize what an impact being a first generation college student actually had on my collegiate experience.
How so?
But just in terms of well, I now recognize that a lot of the struggles that I had or a lot of the questions that I had were actually related not to necessarily something that I did, but just the fact that I didn't know, you know, and I didn't know what questions to be asking of my advisors. It was really a lack of information that I had because I didn't know who to ask.
Yeah, how about
and I can attribute that to being a parent generation.
How about for you, Lloyd? You're shaking your head here.
I can certainly attest to that. I don't think I did a good job of getting the information that I needed it early enough. I look at the people I had around me, and at that point, if I didn't get the information from my parents, it was really unlikely that I wasn't going to get it. At my school, we had about, I'd say maybe 6 to 10 guidance counselors, and it's just unrealistic, I think, to think that 6 to 10 guidance counselors can accommodate for 800 to 1,000 students, starting really early, giving them the attention they need. And so if I could go back in time, that would be the one thing I'd change, just making sure I was being proactive in searching for the information I needed to prepare for college.
And in your case, it was also money once you got to college, right? You couldn't afford to keep going?
That's exactly right. And especially just as a DACA student, just the uncertainty and not knowing if you can even go to college, not let alone, you know, pay for it once you get there.
Right. That is Lloyd George joining us in the studio. Also with us online is Shazabe Jouani and Sandra Godina. They are all first-generation Americans and first-generation college students. Lloyd, according to a 2009 survey, this from the research group called Public Agenda, nearly three quarters of students who dropped out said money and the stress of having to work was a factor. So do you think it was more difficult to figure out things like that, like financing your education without a family member who'd done it before?
Definitely. I definitely think so. I think now that I've graduated, and I know a lot of other people that have graduated, I've learned different ways that I could have maybe got through school. I know I could have got a job. I know I could have done work study. I know I could have done internships. I know I could have done a remote job from home. And so that information I wish I had when I was still in school.
So you heard about the system at Georgia State that it identifies people and reaches out to them. Would that have been enough for you if you'd just gotten a little indicator? Somebody's watching.
I think it certainly would have helped.
How about for you all, Sandra or Shazay? Did either of you want to pick up on that?
You know, I will.
I personally think that.
Go ahead, Sandra.
I was just going to say, I personally think that that would have been incredibly helpful once I got to college, but having the information prior to getting there would have been even more helpful. So starting in middle school and high school and being able to talk about those financial pieces and knowing what questions to ask of my advisors would have been as helpful or even more so when I finally got to college.
I wonder about that, Shazay. As a Pakistani immigrant, do you think that you could have used a lot more of that at an earlier age? And were those resources where you were going to school?
Neil, honestly, the conversation about finances and paying for college really only came up after I had already applied to, been admitted to, and sent in my deposit to college. It never really occurred to me that I would need to pay for it. I guess just it kind of went in one ear out the other when people talked about financial aid. And so, when the time came to pay bills, in my case specifically, I can speak for myself. My entire first year was financed on a credit card. Wow. I would, go in every month. I'd, make the next installment on that credit card. And it probably took a couple of years after I graduated to finish paying off just that first year. But it was, I agree with everyone else on the show today. The information would have been just so useful and would have helped just so tremendously, not just after graduation, but even in college. I mean, the amount of stress that it puts on, when you're worried about, do I have enough of a credit limit to pay my next installment, instead of figuring out, should I be studying for this class? It's a different experience.
Well, and there's also the experience of kind of representing who you are, who your family is. I'm going with a professor at Stanford's term, stereotype threat. It's about not affirming a negative stereotype about the group that you represent. So, Lloyd from Zimbabwe, Sandra from Mexico, Shazabe, family from Pakistan. Did you feel any of that pressure to challenge or get away from preconceived notions about yourself, Shazabe?
Not in so many words. I guess at some level, sure, there you're in a new community and you're of course away from your family and part of a new group and part of a new cohort. But no, not in so many words. I guess the cultural impact wasn't so significant. It was more or less the information overload or lack thereof.
Do you find, let me ask you, Sandra, that you are sometimes the only person in the room who was the first in your family to go to college? Does that happen in your family or friends?
Yeah.
And how does that feel?
So I think now that I'm older and out of college, I realize that being the first person in your family to go to college is actually a more common experience than I thought when I was at Georgia. But what I did find that being at Georgia, I was part of the 2% of Latino students who were there. And so I would often be the only woman of color in a classroom. If I was in a class of 12 honor students, I'd be the only woman of color. And that was a very strange experience.
So you were just carrying yourself. You were carrying a kind of whole representation. Did you feel that way?
It can sometimes feel like that. And I think that's oftentimes a burden that's placed on students of color to represent their entire community.
And how did you deal with that?
Well, I think that for me, I always want to do the best at whatever it is that I'm tasked to do. And so I think that was something that was really important to me, that I represent myself well, that I represent my family well, but also recognizing that wasn't being asked of all of my classmates, and that's unfair.
Well, a lot of people do also tell college students it's the best 4 years of your life. Have fun, make memories. As the first person in your family to attend college, did you feel you could afford to have fun? Not even just financially, but distractions from schoolwork.
Oh, absolutely. I think I was involved in lots of different organizations that have provided so many wonderful memories for me. I also had the privilege of attending college at the same time as my older brother, and he eventually ended up transferring to the University of Georgia. And so it was a really, for me, it is one of my favorite memories to think of him and I standing next to each other at graduation and my parents being able to watch both of their children or two out of their three children graduate and accomplish this dream that they had set out for themselves. So I definitely have lots of fun, positive memories.
Beautiful, beautiful moment there. Lloyd, you speak to a lot of groups in high school and college students around Atlanta. What do you tell them about college and their careers, about entrepreneurship? Do you say, you can drop out and still be successful?
I think entrepreneurship gets I don't think we talk enough about how difficult entrepreneurship is. And I think there's this sort of idea that once you become an entrepreneur, you get to just travel and go random places, which I think is very untrue often. times. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to high school students, the main thing I'm telling them is just be smart. Try not to take out debt if you don't have to. Pick a great major. You probably don't want to major in left-handed German poker. Probably pick something that is going to yield a great return. And so just use common wisdom as you kind of start to explore your college opportunities.
Well, Lloyd George, he is founder of Big Loop. It's a web design company. I want to thank you very much for coming into the studio with us today.
Thank you so much.
And Shazabe Jawani, he's vice president of Elite Healthcare Center. That is in Washington, D.C. Shazabe, thanks for joining us on the line.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
And Sandra Godina, representing there from Dallas. She is impact manager of Education Opens Doors. That is a nonprofit. Thank you so much, Sandra, for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.